The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Kogal from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Glamour Magazine, This I Believe, and Do You Know What Day Tomorrow Is? Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached by kiwanisfoundation.org. Hello, everyone. Welcome to February. Today is February 1st, 2018. Hope you're having a great year so far. To celebrate February, I'm just going to read a couple of kind of important things that happened around February 1st. We're going to start off with February 2nd, actually, tomorrow. So, Groundhog Day. According to a German legend passed on from the Middle Ages, the groundhog is said to come out of hibernation on this day. If it sees its shadow because the day is sunny, it will return to its burrow beneath the ground for another 6 weeks of winter sleep. If it does not see its shadow because the skies are overcast, winter will be shorter and an earlier spring is anticipated. Every year in a small town in northern Pennsylvania named Punxsutawney, a groundhog called Punxsutawney Phil predicts when spring will come. Local residents claim that Phil is almost 100 years old and that he has never been wrong. Okay, the other big event is February 3rd, so the day after tomorrow, 1821. Is the birth date of Elizabeth Blackwell. Elizabeth Blackwell, the first American woman doctor, was granted her medical degree from Geneva Medical College in Geneva, New York, on January 23, 1849. Born in Bristol, England, her family came to the United States in 1832. After her father's death, she taught school for several years to help support her family. In 1844, she decided to become a physician, but was refused admittance to medical schools in Philadelphia and New York City. For 3 years, she studied privately until she gained entrance to Geneva Medical College. In 1853, she opened a dispensary in New York City, staffed entirely by women. This later became the New York Infirmary. After the Civil War, she founded the Women's Medical College, associated with the infirmary. Pretty cool. Elizabeth Blackwell being our first American woman doctor. All right, we are going to go on to something I failed to read last time, which was, you know how we were talking about how to take 2018 up a level? Well, the very first article was the one I wanted to read, and I went right on to the second article, but this is so good. So this is now you're into it to win it. Sadly, some things cannot be achieved by hacks alone. Trust us, we've tried. You'll have to put in some work to master these strategies and maneuvers that will help you maximize your potential, achieve ambitious goals, advance major plans, and completely kill the game this year. Get ready to Tracy flick this. All right, so our goal for women, not to waste another second hating their body, says Reese. And this is entitled, How to Finally Feel Good About Your Body. We want women to work out because they love their body, not hate it, says personal trainer and group fitness instructor Lindsay Clayton. That's why 3 years ago, she and her BFF, Amber Reese, a fellow trainer, founded the Brave Body Project, an online community for teaching health and fitness to women through the lens of feeling strong and powerful, not beating yourself up. They're daring you to retrain how you think about your body with this exclusive Glamour Challenge. Step one, this workout, which combines a tough yoga flow with body positive mantras. Try it 4 times a week this month. It takes about 10 minutes. And beginning January 1, the Brave Body Project will be on Glamour.com with more ways to build body confidence and feel good in your skin. So, number one, start on all fours. Arch your back and drop your stomach. Inhale, focusing on a part of your body that you're happy with. Exhale, rounding your back. Consciously try to release any negative thoughts. Do 5 rounds. 2. Tuck your toes and pull hips up to the ceiling in a downward dog. Roll forward into a high plank position. While you feel your core fire up, take a moment to appreciate what your body is doing. Planks are freaking hard. 3. Come down to your elbows, then go back up to your hands. Do this 5 times, ending in a forearm plank. Think, I am resilient. Rest briefly in downward dog, then do 5 more rounds, alternating between forearm and high planks, repeating to yourself, I have power. 4. Return to downward dog. Do 10 push-ups. 5. Come to the top of your mat, rolling up into a standing position. Take 5 breaths to repeat a word that resonates with you. Brave, beautiful, worthy. Your choice. 6. Place feet hip width apart and do 10 squats, holding the last one at the bottom. Hold for as long as it takes to say to yourself 10 times, I'm strong. 7. Come into plank position for burpees. Drop your chest down to the floor, then push back up into plank. Jump your feet to your hands, then jump up to stand. Repeat 9 times. It might sound silly, but smile the whole time. Find the joy in something you'd normally consider work. It's how you'll make working out feel enjoyable. 8. Finish by standing at the top of your mat. Bring your hands to the center of your chest. Close your eyes and thank yourself, using whatever word inspired you most during the flow. Now, kick some ASS today. And your life hack. To avoid limp roasted vegetables, make sure they're completely dry before cooking, and put your sheet pan in the oven as it preheats, so when you add veggies, they'll start browning. And that's by Athena Calderon, author of Cook Beautiful. All right, our next article is from the November-December issue of 2017, and I'm bringing it up just because some of you are heading towards college and you still have spring to find some money for college, and this article is all about that. Worried about how to pay your future tuition bills? 3 girls reveal their secrets to scoring major cash, plus creative ways you can find some too. All right. This one girl, Maria Gogoleva, 22, from Coos Bay, Oregon. Her college, graduate of Northwest Christian University, she said, I searched for it. What she did, Maria could only go to college with financial help. So during her senior year of high school, she began an online search for scholarships. I just started Googling, she says. She found a lot of potential opportunities on unigo.com. That's UNIGO.com. Then made sure they were legit by talking to her school advisor. The next step? Apply, apply, apply. Out of 15 scholarships I applied for, I got 11. She also submitted a request for federal student aid on FAFSA.ed.gov. Success secrets. She stayed organized, never missed a deadline, and proofread everything. She also followed up on each application. I was very persistent. Scholarship foundations want to see you're passionate about college and your future. By the time that Maria graduated from high school, she had $20,000. That paid for a year of community college and a computer, plus other things I needed for school. The only catch? She had to reapply for the scholarships each year. A new goal. Maria learned so much from her quest for cash that she started collegetipadvisor.com so she can help others. What she did. Sky saw a friend's post about distinguished young women, and that is distinguished YW.org, a national scholarship program, and decided to sign up for it. A key reason? Every year it offers more than $1 billion in cash or grants. Some colleges provide free tuition to DYW girls, and it costs nothing to take part. What it entails. The program requires you to be excellent in academics, public speaking, interview skills, performing arts talent, and fitness, Sky says. You don't need to be the best at everything. She adds, it's not a beauty pageant. You can begin at the local or state level as early as your junior year. To be eligible for cash, you need to complete a few workshops. Requirements vary by location, where you learn about topics such as resume writing and entrepreneurship. I got scholarship money just for showing up, she says. Girls who are successful move on to a national competition. Her takeaway? Sky, the big winner in 2017, took home more than $36,000. And I've been inducted into a wonderful community of strong women, she says. And Sky Bork is 19. Her hometown is Washington, D.C. And currently, she is a freshman at Columbia University. She said, I competed for it. All right, our next article. I traveled 19 hours to chill out. Glamour beauty editor Lindsay Shalon needed to unplug. So she went to the mountains of India to discover Ayurveda. It's 5:30 p.m., and I'm nodding off in the back of a van, only to be jolted awake every few minutes by a horn. Unlike the honking of angry New York City cab drivers, though, this is a friendly beep along the winding hills of Pune, India, to let other cars or cattle know you're coming. It's all incredibly foreign to me. The 9.5 hour time difference, the absurd humidity, and that I have no Wi-Fi. Because I'm a digital editor, stepping away from technology isn't just hard. With the relentless 24/7 news cycle, it can feel impossible. Which is why whenever I'm in a cab, I'm usually cradling my laptop, trying to publish a story using my cell phone's hotspot. Does that sound nuts? It feels nuts. Burnout was high, and it was coming at me faster than Kylie Jenner hair change. So when Rituals Cosmetics invited me on a spa retreat in India to reboot through the ancient practice of Ayurveda, like I was going to say no? I was familiar with Rituals. The brand is widely popular in Europe for its bath and body products, each of which is inspired by the tradition of a different culture. But I won't lie, I didn't really know anything about Ayurveda until I was immersed in it for 3 days. The philosophy is relatively simple. By cleansing and nurturing yourself, you can bring harmony to your three doshas, otherwise known as bodily energies, called Vata, Pitta, and Kapha, which control your mental and physical health. In other words, it's about balancing your mind and body. First, we met with the resort's Ayurveda specialist, Arun Pillai, who made us take a test to see how balanced our doshas were. A Google search can determine yours. Shocker, the test revealed my anxiety levels were off the charts. I had a massive Vata imbalance, I probably didn't need to be in India to figure that out, but I'm glad I was there for what was next. Pillai prescribed an Ayurvedic massage called Abhyanga. The massage therapist began with my arms, rubbing Ritual's Vata dry oil in, using long strokes. The nourishing sweet almond oil and basil are calming, she said. All was going as planned until she asked me to remove my robe. Has anyone told you that outside the U.S., spa treatments often include boob massages? Consider yourself warned. After I got over the shock, I had the shiny bust of a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. Not the perk I expected, but so not mad at it. Since I've been back in New York City, I want to say I'm more chill now. But this isn't a fairy tale, and I'm not the once stressed out princess who lived happily ever zen. My job is still demanding. Instead, I'm trying to be more mindful of the small stuff. Not checking news in the shower, yes, I did that, so I can enjoy a good cleansing foam. Meeting friends for a yoga class instead of a wine and bitch session. And I'm vowing to finally take the rest of my vacation days somewhere without Wi-Fi. All right, and so here's an article on yoga. It says, yoga that will kick your ass. In a good way, this is Cardio Plus Chill by Sean Dreisbach. We're huge fans of yoga. It makes you feel both serene and superwomanish. The one downside, it often doesn't feel strenuous enough to count as a cardio workout. And yes, that goes for hot yoga too. You're sweating from that heat. But a recent study found that if you move quickly from pose to pose, holding each one for 3 seconds or less, you can crank your heart rate to a level that does meet the American Heart Association cardio guidelines. You still get the strengthening benefits because it's the transition between moves that works muscles most. This is why high speed is buzzing at Y7, a hot new studio in New York City and Los Angeles. I wanted the benefit of the poses without feeling like I needed to get on a treadmill after, co-founder Sarah Levy tells Glamour. So we practice one breath to one motion. You inhale for Warrior One and exhale to Warrior Two, which creates a sort of dance with the poses. To match the fast flow, Levy blasts hip-hop. The beats per minute match the breaths, so it's easier to keep pace. Levy created the exclusive yoga workout here. She even threw in the perfect soundtrack. Go through all the poses in this sequence 4 times, 3 or 4 days a week. Serenity never felt so satisfyingly sweet. So, number one, start in child's pose. Kneel, with knees wide and toes touching. Then fold over legs so stomach rests on knees, forehead on floor, and arms stretched out in front of you. Two, come up onto all fours and do a few rounds of cat-cow pose. Arch back, look up, and inhale for cow pose. Right, then round spine, look toward belly button, and exhale for cat. Three, inhale and step back to plank pose, the top of a push-up. Four, exhale and use your arms and chest to lower halfway to the floor for chaturanga, keeping elbows close to ribs and wrists underneath shoulders. Five, inhale and come into cobra pose. Flip feet so the tops rest on mat and press through hands to arch back and lift chest to the sky. And six, exhale as you lift your hips up and back into downward dog, hands and feet on the mat, body in an inverted V shape. Seven, bring right knee toward nose on an inhale. Place foot between hands and stand chest up for high lunge pose, raising arms overhead. On the next round, use left leg. Do both sides twice in total. 8. Stand up and exhale, bending knees and sitting butt back into chair pose. Arms extended, straight up by ears, legs pressing into each other. 9. Inhale, straightening legs and rising up onto toes. Extend arms back by sides and bend forward for diver's pose. 10. Exhale, lower heels, and stand up straight in mountain pose, keeping arms by sides. Quickly start the sequence again. When you finish the fourth round, lie flat on your back with your legs and arms relaxed in Savasana. You've earned it. All right, now we're going to go on to a book entitled This I Believe, The Personal Philosophies of Remarkable Men and Women. And the story or the essay that I have chosen for you today is called A Daily Walk, Just to Listen. Boy, I think there's a theme going on here in today's episode of Teen Magazine. I think it's called Relax, Chill. Okay, and all sorts of different ways of doing it. Turning down the Wi-Fi, turning it off, getting away from places like that where you've got it, and doing some yoga. This one, A Daily Walk Just to Listen. Sometimes I feel like I have no real sense of direction. At 45, this is a little scary. I think my distraction is due to the variety of roles I play and my tendency to try to please others. Much of my day is spent responding to requests. Mommy, will you? Susan, can you? My world is full of spoken and unspoken expectations that I try to live up to as a parent, as a person, as a friend. I believe I have to remove myself from the voices that barrage me in order to find my true compass. This includes a daily walk, just to listen. The guiding light of my life is the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. In our hectic, noisy world, I have to slow down or withdraw in order to hear it. Prayer, I have discovered, is less about what I say and more about what I hear. Time set apart with God is like a hike to a peak from the middle of a dense forest. It gives me perspective and some ability to see where I've been and where I'm going. Discerning God's voice is not so hard when I make time to listen closely. Sometimes I hear it as a sudden insight when I step back from a situation. Other times, it's a deep sense of my priorities or a conviction about something I should do or say. I often take a walk with a pencil and notepad in my pocket and return with notes for a speech or pieces of writing. Later, someone tells me she was moved by the words I'd scribbled on that paper, and I know my prompting came from God. My pursuit of spiritual truth is not about religion as much as it is about relationship. It is not about intellectualizing God's commands, but about internalizing His truth within my heart, as well as my head, an understanding so deep and intimate that it affects not only my thinking, but my behavior as well. On my daily walks, I've recognized how to parent my children through difficult situations, been prompted to call a friend I hadn't heard from in a while, and felt compelled to reach out to strangers, who soon became my friends. I believe in a daily walk to listen, because that is when I am close to God. That is when I find my way. and I am most at peace when I tune out the voices of the world long enough to hear the still, small voice of God directing me. Be still, Psalm 46 reminds me, and know that I am God. Susan Cosio is a chaplain at Sutter Medical Center in Sacramento, California. A mother of three, she also writes feature articles for the Davis Enterprise. Cosio's favorite places to walk are in the mountains or on the beach, as well as through a bird sanctuary near her home. Okay, we're going to end our program with just a little bit about Aquarians. And because January 20th through February 20th, something like that, is the sign of Aquarius. And this is from Astrostyle, Horoscopes by the Astro Twins. Okay, and so if you're an Aquarian born between January 20 and February 20, chief among the traits of an Aquarius is the fierce need for rebellion. An Aquarius has a strong desire for freedom, but they also love to be surrounded by their vast network of friends. They are passionate advocates for their cutting-edge ideas, but can sometimes come off as aloof. It takes a lot to hold tech-savvy Aquarius's attention span, though when they find their obsession, they go in all the way. Aquarius is the sign of the trendsetter and trailblazer. As the zodiac's 11th sign, Aries loves creative collaborations and synergistic connections. Positive Aquarius astrology traits include communication, originality, open-mindedness, fairness, logical, and inviting. They're not afraid to speak up for what they believe. Aquarius becomes upset when they feel wronged in some way or when a friend or loved one has been hurt or offended. This friendship-focused sign has no tolerance for injustice. And finally, I'm going to leave you with a poem on February, and this is from www.gardendigest.com, February Winter Poems, Quotes, Folklore, Sayings, Ideas. And this is a short poem. Winter is the time for comfort, for good food and warmth, for the touch of a friendly hand, and for a talk beside the fire. It is the time for home. And that is by Edith Sitwell. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Aniko Gal, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleradioreadingservice.org. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached by kiwanisfoundation.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Have a great week. See you next time.